Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Ken DeWood, he's not going to stop 100 metres to go. He's about four in front of commanding time, an extra zero. And Ken DeWood ran them into the ground in the end, and he scored by four.
Now, on Tense Racing Talk, time to talk thoroughbreds.
Night Racing up and running with a huge winning last week in Launceston, and we back up again tonight with another eight-event card. And to tell us all about it, it's the co-development manager of Thoroughbred Racing in Tasmania, Simon Stout. How are you, Simon?
Terrific, Shane. Wonderful to be back on the show again.
Now, tremendous week last week.
It was a terrific night's racing and well received by all. And reports, early turnover estimates say that it was very well received in terms of viewership and punters across the nation.
Now, top week also for a couple of top young jockeys in Tasmania.
Yeah, well, David Perez and Anthony Darmanin provided the highlights for the evening, both scoring a double. David with a bookend double and Anthony with a double in the middle of the program.
Punters were on the mark, four outright favourites successful and a couple of well-supported runners getting the money, and the first of those was Bideford in race one.
Yeah, he's building a very impressive record, this horse, Shane, that we highlighted him last week, having come off a very good trial in Hobart prior to that run. He basically pulled his way to the front the other day and just kept running. You know, he's a horse that's got plenty of natural improvement in him. He certainly wasn't quite there in the coat, and he's a big, raw sort of individual, as you'd expect being Kiwi bred, but he's certainly got plenty of upside.
What other runners caught your eye on the night?
Yeah, certainly in race four, Vengeance of Fury. This performance was scintillating, considering that the sectionals they put up early, they ran sub-11 seconds from the 1,000 metre to the 800, and not just the leaders, but basically the whole field. And this horse, he was camped on top of that speed. He's managed to then continue running and run a sub-34 for his last 600 in 33.94. His time was very comparable to the Class 2 and the Benchmark 82 on the night when he registered 110.43 and basically just gave his opposition a galloping lesson. So he's certainly a horse with a lot of upside. Then in race 5... we highlighted Made of Stars last week, and he did the right thing by us. But we certainly, if you have a look at the video on tasracing.com.au, we looked like we were in a fair bit of trouble on the corner. Maresti looked like it went amiss in front of him, and Made of Stars copped the backwash, got shuffled back out of the race, seemingly in an impossible position, but managed to pick himself up and really motored to the line. Certainly suggests that this horse has found... certainly his career best form and could go on with it from here.
Really was an outstanding win, wasn't it? Because he was cruising up behind them, looked set to, just needed a run to be right in the finish, and then literally got stopped in his tracks.
He did. If he had whacked away and run a nice third or fourth, you would have been, you know, certainly putting a big star next to his name as one to follow. But for him to be able to pick himself up, and he ran 11.01 for his last furlong, so, you know, which was by far and away the best of the race. So, you know, it's certainly showed a bit of change-up speed there and being able to finish off that way.
Well, it looks like Mark Gannon's got a smart one on his hands there. What about race number six?
This was a terrific form race, Shane. Of course, won by Satin Shimmy, who provided Anthony the second leg of his double. And she came off a very hot speed. They did run Solandro and Osborne with the blinkers on first time. They set a very solid tempo, running sub-11 seconds from the 1,000 to the 800-metre mark. You had Satin Shimmy, who came from virtually tailed off in the field to round them up and win, registering a last 600 of 33.66. You had Grey Gown, who got held up momentarily and didn't look like he was going to be in the finish at all, but burst through late. He also managed to break 34 for his last 600. And splitting those was Just Mouse, who first up off a break, looked a little pretty in the yard. Certainly looked like there was a nice bit of improvement to come from her. And she rode the hot speed, sort of set of camp third and fourth. And she looked the winner halfway down the straight and probably just peaked on her run a little bit. But certainly those three all look as though this race is going to measure up as a race that is going to have strong form repercussions in other events as we move forward.
And speaking of measuring up, Private Currency did exactly that in race 8.
Yeah, he certainly did, Shane. And, you know, there was no loafing in this race either. He from barrier 1, he sat on the speed. He was pressured mid-race. And he looked like he was in a little bit of trouble 200 metres out once they straightened up and headed for home. But he drew away from them again on the line, and certainly jumping for a horse with a rating of 68 that jumped into a benchmark 82 certainly underlines the promise that he's shown thus far and the capability to step up. Of course, he's having a bit of a degree of toughness. He certainly goes in with the family in terms of his half-sister is the half-sister of the Dam of the Cleaner. So being able to put himself on speed and tough out a race is well and truly a family trait.
Now, speaking of the Cleaner, worked well yesterday.
Yeah, Peter Staples from Taz Racing headed up there to do the weekly update with Mick Bells, which can be seen on the tazracing.com.au website. And he sizzled in his workout yesterday, reeling off sub-23. Last 400, basically under a pretty substantial sort of hold, was on bridle work, and he's certainly heading in the right direction. Mick Bells is very happy with him as he heads towards the Cox Plate next week.
Now, some 6 or 7 weeks ago, it was probably a pipe dream, but I noticed in the betting into $21 now.
Yeah, and some markets even shorter, Shane. By all reports, the ground sell of for the horse is being mirrored in the market, and the more you start to analyse the race, there's a couple of the three-year-olds haven't measured up in Sydney, so we don't really see a lot of pressure coming from lightweighted three-year-olds in the race, and it's just shaping like he might get his way in front, and we certainly know how hard he can be to run down when given that.
So we've got 8 races on the card tonight. Stride Master and the video replays throwing out plenty of winners in recent weeks. What have we got to look forward to tonight?
We kick off early, Shane. Race 1 here. And Cherry Dancer. She's probably going to start pretty short, but Cherry Dancer was a touch unlucky last start in Hobart. Managed to reel off a sub-37 last 600 in 36.54, which was the best of the race. It came from 9th at the 400-metre mark and to finish a luckless 2nd. Goes into this race, looks cherry ripe for Scott Brunton to win here. Then into race 2, we've got one with a bit of each-way value here, and that's number 3, Rolling in the Deep, currently about $12 or $13 in most markets. And Rolling in the Deep finished 2nd to 7 Falls at Devonport at its last start, and reeled off the only sub-36 second last 600 of that race. Of course, 7 Falls was quite dominant in the event, but this horse covered a little bit of ground and still managed to find the line very strongly. Looks like he might represent very good each-way value there. Race 3, the 3-year-old Nut Maiden over 1,200 metres. And there's a lot of unknown form here, a lot of first starters. This race is another that is a must for a visit to the tazracing.com.au website. Get all the trial form online and also all the race replays. So if you want to check out any of the form of the unraced brigade, you can do that. You can also have highlighted Flying Ensign. This horse trained by Barry Campbell and owned by Barry Larder. He's a 6-year-old gelding by Flying Spur, and certainly the pair of Barry, Larder and Campbell, they don't mess around with horses. So this horse obviously must have shown them a fair bit of ability. We've only seen him once. He steamed to the line after missing the kick at Devonport last December. They've brought him along quietly. He's had 2 trials recently, very quietly. And he's obviously one to watch the market on. We then move on to race 5. And one out of the video and also the Stridemaster data from the most recent Hobart meeting is number 5, Royal Express for Paul Maher. If you go to the video, this horse, he can barely keep in touch with the field over the first half of the race in Hobart. He actually drops out of picture at one stage, but he steamed home from last to record the only sub-48 second last 800 of the race. He's probably better suited to 1400 where he's won 3 times, but the amount of ground he made up, and given there's quite a bit of natural speed in this race with Berno and Savvy Princess, that he might be just steaming home over the top of them from back in the field late in this. And finally, we move on to race six. We highlighted Sister Quest the other week, and that franks the form of your pony here. She, of course, won the last meeting at Launceston. But there's also the old-timey Yuboa. Yuboa, he was narrowly touched off by Spinning Jenny at Devonport on the 28th of September, but he did manage to reel out a sub-35 last 600, which suggests he's come back in terrific style. He goes to the 1,400 here. He gets his male taker with a claim of 1.5 kilos. And you know, he's capable of running another very solid race again.
And then in the last seven falls, what do you think of its run at Devonport?
Well, it was very soft wind, wasn't it, Shane? You know, he certainly controlled the race from just off the speed. He ran to the front very, very comfortably, and Daniel Gamblin really throttled down the last 50 metres or so. So certainly won as though there was plenty in reserve. Of course, we mentioned Rolling in the Deep in race two. There's probably going to be a little bit of a form line there. If Rolling in the Deep can run a nice race for you, it will only frank the form for seven falls. You'll find this a much tougher event with Miss Elsa and Classic Outlaw in the event. Certainly Miss Elsa, you know, if she gets her own way in front, we know how difficult she can be to run down. Classic Outlaw, well, he can ride the speed as well. And so seven falls, it'll be interesting to see how he measures up out of this race. They've got ambitions and he might end up going to the Newmarket Handicap next month. And certainly for him to do that, you'd expect him to be winning tonight.
Only a small field of five, plenty of interest there in the last leg of the quaddie. Thanks for your time today, Simon, and good luck with the program tonight.
Always a pleasure. Thanks again, Shane.
Now on TAS Racing Talk, countdown to the Cox Plate, the cleaner's journey with trainer Mick Burles and Shane Yates.
Well, for the last 5 or 6 weeks on TAS Racing Talk, we've had the pleasure of catching up with the trainer of the cleaner on the journey to the Cox Plate, but today we're speaking with one of the part owners in Bill Fordry. How are you, Bill?
Pretty good, thanks, Shane.
Yeah, you must be absolutely delighted along with your co-owners of the progress and the thrill so far that the cleaner's given you.
Yeah, mate, of course we are. We're over the moon with him. We always believed that he was pretty good and that he needed to be racing in Melbourne. So we sort of took him over and he's, I think he's won five over there out of about seven starts. I think that's about what's right.
Well, it's certainly been a great ride so far, that's for sure.
Yeah. And I know he's good, you know. He's become a bit too popular for us, though. Geez, he's making hard work of it.
Well, it might all pay off in another 10 days' time or so. Now, you've confiscated Mick's phone, I believe.
Yeah, we were advised to do that by some guys in Victoria. A couple of media guys, they said that the normal thing over there was any horse that sort of creates this sort of interest, that it's... there's usually a marketing person or somebody will do the spruiking for the trainer and let him concentrate on training the horse, because it does take a fair bit of time away from you. And from your point of view, you could be talking to somebody who's trying to do something with the horse, you know. Well, you're pretty safe with me. I won't be doing too much with him. I'll watch him now and then for him, things like that.
Now, you're in the past, you've been closer associated with the harness racing world, Bill. So,
yeah, mate.
Is this the first horse you've been involved with as far as the galloping scene's concerned?
Yep. Yeah. Never been involved in one before. Try not to be involved in this one. How stupid.
Yeah, well, it's turning out to be a pretty good decision at this point.
That's right.
And got involved with a couple of golfing mates, I believe.
Yeah, that's what happened. Mick plays golf with us and... He bought the horse at the sale, and there's quite a few different stories about that. I think my version is that when he bought it, I think he was happy to maintain a share in it, but he was happy to bring a couple of other owners in, you know, that said, I'll pay the bills. And he asked me a couple of times, and I sort of said, mate, I've just got over paces. If ever I gallop and my wife will leave me. I think he said that wouldn't be a bad idea for you, though. and then a week after, he asked Jimmy Lowish, who's pretty good mates with me, and Jimmy said, if you can get Bill to take a share, I will. And so he came back over to me and said, now, are you going to leave me with no partners, or are you going to help me get two?
He put the pressure on a bit then.
Yeah, so I said, mate, yeah, looks like I'm going to have a share in a galloper. I hope he turns out all right. Nick said, he'll be good. He said, I wouldn't try and get you any more. I didn't think he'd be any good. And he did say then that he reckoned he's the sort of horse to turn into a stayer, and that appealed to me a bit. I'd rather see a horse run over a distance and just sprint. And Jimmy had been involved with gallopers a couple of times. He had a pretty good one. I can't think of the name, but he rolls it off pretty quick. I think he won a steeple with him and a couple of good hurdle races, so he did all right there.
Well, it's been a great journey so far. You've only got a week and a half to go to the big one. Are you dreaming that he might just be able to lead all the way?
Yeah, mate. I honestly do. I didn't. I thought up until today I'd been thinking all the time that he'll be hard to catch, and he'd run pretty well, you know. I thought he won't let us down, but I'm starting to believe that there's every chance he can lead all the way. His work's terrific, and he looks $1 million. He looks the best I've ever seen him. And he seems really good in himself, and everything seems to be coming together at the right time for him, you know.
Well, he's a real cult hero around the state, and also around Australia, with the media coming from left, right and centre to learn all about the cleaner, his trainer, his owner. He's now into $14 to win the Cox Plate. Just looking, he's on the eighth line of betting. We've got Faulkner at $3.80, Sacred Falls $5, Criterion $9, Adelaide at $9.50, Happy Trails at $9.50, Royal Descent and Silent Achiever both at $12. And there he is, the Longford Lion, as he's become known, at $14.
Yeah, that's Bruce Clark's idea, that.
He's got a few names. Tasmanian Terror, I heard recently mentioned, at the Longford Lion, so he's picking up some fans, that's for sure.
Yes, he's pretty popular. He's become popular. I know there's a fair bit of money going on him now at the minute. I also know a few people are pretty smart and had some good bets at 200 to 1 on him.
200 to 1? People that are pretty smart. Sounds like you might be talking about yourself there, Bill.
I got a son who's had a bit on him.
Oh, well, that's all right. Keep it in the family. That wouldn't hurt. Say $14 for the win.
I think he believes he'll win more than I will.
Oh, well, $14 the win and $4.30 at the place currently. So if anyone's out there who'd like to have a little dabble and feel part of this journey, that's the odds at the moment on offer about the cleaner. Good luck trying to keep the phone off Mick. We hope his health is on the improve. We know he spent a couple of days in hospital last week with the flu, but as he said, it's hard to keep a good man down. And best of luck to yourself and your co-owners and to Mick with this last 10 days on the journey to the Cox Plate, Bill.
Yeah, okay. Thanks very much, mate.
Taz Racing Talk. Everything you need to get the edge.
Another big card of racing coming up under lights in Launceston tonight. 8 races after last week's sensational opening night of the season. And we'll call in Peter Staples to tip us all the winners for tonight. How are you, Pete?
I'm good, Shane. Yeah, it was a good meeting last week and a good opener. And while the last race in the card tonight's only got 5 runners in, it's going to be an interesting race with 7 Falls and Miss Elsa.
And it is, of course, a leg of the quaddie. And the first leg is race number 5. It's the Benchmark 62. It's over 1,200.
Yeah, look, interesting race this. Look, I'm a big rep for this horse, CC Emperor, trained by Tegan Keys. And I would, I'll be taking CC Emperor in my quaddie along with 3 others. But first up from a spell, the horse is apparently from all reports is working nicely. It'll just get back just off midfield and I just think it'll be, it can finish strong. Obviously, it's going to be better when it gets out to more ground later in the season, but I think first up, we can expect Sempre to be right up there at the Business Centre proceedings. Certainly, the danger will be Bernard. Bernard's got a lot of weight, goes up in weight, but comes down in grade, and that's the balancer. 61 kilos, 1.5 kilos off, carrying 59.5. So it's got a good horse's weight tonight, Shane, and but he's got plenty of speed. Barrier one won't have to be used up too much early to get that front position. And there aren't many others in the race that that are speedsters. Heartbreak Lass, it likes to go forward. Mr. on Barrier eight, so and Savvy Princess also shows speed. So I think probably Heartbreak Lass might have to sit outside Bernard if they want to lead on it. The other chances obviously go Karma. It's won its last two, and you'd have to be putting that in the quaddie. And Royal Express, number five. Geez, it was impressive the way it flashed home for second at its first run back from a spell. And Paul Maher's got an opinion of it, and you'd certainly one that you'd have to include in the quaddie. 2, 1, 5, and 3 for me, and I don't think you have to go any wider than that.
Second leg is race number 6. It's over the 1,400. It's the benchmark 72. We've got the likes of Euboa and Your Pony clashing.
Yeah, look, I think Euboa, now with Barry Campbell. Of course, he was with Graham McCulloch and with the he shifted over, and then owners put him in Barry Campbell's care. And look, he's a terrific run first up at Devonport, and I think as you called the races that day, and from the naked eye, you probably thought Euboa had done enough just to hold on, but Spinning Jenny grabbed it right on the line. And you've got to have a lot of respect for Barry Campbell preparing this horse. He's obviously found the right ingredients to training him, and he's certainly one that's going to be hard to beat. The scratching of Bruish Quest probably narrows down the number of horses you probably have to take. O'Reilly's GG, which is my on-top selection. They tried him over 2,100 metres two starts back and just didn't get the ground. He won previously over the 14, then back to that. A good second last start. And he's, with 56 kilos, he is certainly going to be a huge chance. And from barrier one, he's going to have to do no work early, and Georgie will just be able to get him up just behind the speed, I would imagine. And he'll be camp waiting for a run on the corner. So I've got 6 on top, 3 Euboa, 8 Chiming. Jeez, it was a nice run last start. And it's $17 and $4 on fixed odds at the moment. And I think it's certainly one that you'd be looking at on an each-way basis. And number 2, G4. 6, 3, 8, and 2 are my 4 in the second leg.
Now, the third leg, we've got the 2,100-metre benchmark 62. Russos Destiny, most impressive winner last time out.
Yeah, and a lot of these, the top three are going around against each other again. You would expect, even though Russos Destiny goes up in weight, it's a dramatic drop in class. Sit down to a 62. He's a 66 raider. 2-kilo claim for Reagan Cross. He's going to carry 59. He's a big, strong type. I think he'll be able to handle that. And if he just takes his last start form into this race, he's definitely the one to beat. And he is my best bet on the card, Russos Destiny. Him to win over GG Black Fury, who worked home nicely for third behind Russos. I keep trying to call him Demise Russos. If they just put a calf down on him, I'd be right. But GG Black Fury to work home hard behind him, along with Braver. Toughed it out really well, and I think the 2,100 metres will suit Braver. Was game to run third last time out. This is its fourth run back from a spell. I think this mare can figure. And Daz Good, I'll give him another chance. He ran two at Devonport, and he didn't have much luck last time. And Terry Rolls, the trainer, thinks he can run a strong 2,100, so we'll give him another chance to figure. My numbers are 1, 3, 6, and 2, but 1 is a special.
Won a special in race number 7, and you've already mentioned only a small field in the last race on the card. It's over the 1,100, but 7 Fools, ultra impressive winning first up at Devonport.
Very impressive is his first start in the state, and as you called the races that day, and at probably 180 out, he was still 2.5 or 3 lengths off them, or 280 was that far off. And
going nowhere.
And going nowhere like he really was, and all of a sudden he just sort of pricked his ears, grabbed the bit and went bang, and it was all over. Adam Trinder said before the race and after the race that he would have been very disappointed had he not won the race. He does have high hopes for him. So 7 Fools, I'm going to have on top Miss Elsa. You know, the way that she won first up, and I know Terry Evans is confident that Miss Elsa could be competitive in some good races this time in. He's always had an opinion of this mare, and she was very impressive leading all the way, untouched, and extended her lead in the home straight. So she'll appreciate Launceston, so I think it's definitely a match in two. You'd only have to take 2 and 4 in the quaddie as far as I'm concerned. Then you've got the others, take them if you like, the one and the four, but I would just be taking 2 7 Falls and 4 Miss Elsa. I'm pretty sure one of those two will win the race.
So that makes your quaddy in the first leg 2153, second leg 6382, 1362 in the third, and in the last leg, pretty confident just taking the 2 and the 4. Mm. Any other races on the card that tickle your fancy?
Look, I think I think we can wait for the back half tonight. I think the Russo's Destiny, I really like him. And the third race is an absolute raffle. There's so many unknown quantities there with first starters. Zibadilia from the Troy Black stable won a trial recently. Peach would trial well. So did Rosie Rue. Adam Trinder's got Village Green, very, very well bred. Look, Markets will be the best guide. The only horse with any half-decent form is GG Supreme from the Johnny Luttrell stable, and it had every chance its last two starts. So there's no world beaters in there that we've seen exposed. So we'll probably have to wait to the mounting yard and see where the money comes before we make a decision on what we might have a bet on in race three. And if from a probably from an each way basis, race four, number 11, So Much Fun. Just got knocked off last time, won a race at Devonport, had it taken off it in the stewards room, had two subsequent runs unplaced, then went second last week. I just think from barrier 7, Be McCool, the big danger would be 12 Spin Sugar, Spun Sugar, I should say. And I'd be happy to take that Quinella, 11 and 12, I go with that. And I'd take the bottom 10, 11, 12 in a trifecta with Billy Ryan's other runner, Siobhan Bell. And we might get a little bit of a collect there.
Yeah, might be able to use that to invest into that quaddy. And, of course, all your tips, Peter, on the tasracing.com.au website. So if anyone wishes to grab Pete's selections in the first four races, you can head in that direction. Good luck with those tips tonight. We look forward to tuning in.
Thanks,
this podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.